But I'm glad you're here. You know, this message, I love this passage, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And of course, we're going to be going to verse 6 tonight. But this was such an important one when I was growing up. And in the church, and there were so many things that came out of it. And then, of course, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 was my mom's life verse or life passage. And seriously, I after she went to be with the Lord, I opened up this book that had pictures of literally hundreds of portraits that she did. And in the corner would be her signature, Betty Rogers, and then underneath, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And again, I still think it's funny. There's somewhere in one of his houses, Elton John has a portrait of him hanging on the wall that my mom did. And if he would turn it on the back, I know because my mom took pictures of it, in big, bold letters, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And it would really be interesting if he goes, I think I've heard of that. Let me look that up. You know, it's just, you know, you hear stories about when God's people are able somehow to give the gospel to people that we hear about in the news. I remember there was a young lady, she was in Bible college with us. She was at an airport, and before he got super famous, there was Michael Jackson. Now, Michael Jackson was a Jehovah's Witness by religion. She gave him a gospel tract and said, please, would you read this? And she got away. He was kind of at a distance, and she watched him read that tract, and she stood there, and she prayed for him, and I mean prayed big time. There was another gal, and I'll finish with this. There was another gal that was someplace, is up in New England, and she was watching a young man try to change the tire on his car. It had a flat, and he threw down, I'm not sure exactly what all it was, but and kicked the tire. He was upset because he never knew how to do this. It was John Kennedy Jr. And she, her dad was a mechanic. And she said, came up and said, hey, I'll help you with this. Oh, would you please? I appreciate that. She said, on one condition, would you hear me out on something? And she gave him the whole gospel. Changed the tire. And you know what's really something? This happened not too long before he was in that plane crash. She said she got home and waiting for her on the kitchen table in her house, she said, was the biggest, humongous flower arrangement she's ever seen that he sent to her. So I thought, you know, that's really kind of interesting. But this is always, I'm telling you, when I come back to this, it kind of harkens me back to A, when I was a teenager, B, when I was in Bible college, and C, when I was working with youth. I told you before, I honestly believed I was going to be a youth pastor all my life. Could you imagine this face being a youth pastor? I don't think so either. But we're going to finish up on this, and I hope and pray it's a blessing. I'm telling you, I love today because the message this morning was such a blessing to study for. And then tonight on this, I just, I love it. So I hope and pray that, you know, God uses it. So let's go ahead. We will pray now. And let's get into Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Heavenly Father, I pray now in Jesus' name that you would use this. Lord, it's been a joy to hear your voice in this passage. I pray that we would corporately gather in the front of thy word. And Lord, that we would hear you, understanding the impact of what this can mean. And I pray this in our Savior's name. Amen. Proverbs 3:6 is the message that we're the passage that we're in tonight. In just a moment, we're going to read verses 1 through 6. But just to look again at verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now stop and consider that. I was preaching before on the promises of God. That's a promise, but it comes with a caveat. Now, he'll lead, but for those that give him the reins, think of the possibilities. If you followed the situation in Israel over the decades, when you mention Gaza Strip, you stop and you consider all the difficulties, the battles, the tension, everything that took place there because of that. And of course, eventually, in 2005, the powers that be in Israel decided just to vacate it and give it over to the Palestinians. And of course, here came the missiles and all that. There was a settlement in Israel, in the Gaza Strip. The name of the town was Netzarim. Those who lived in that place, in Netzarim, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it properly, maybe not, but they did so at great personal risk because they felt it was an important part to keep their land free, to stay there in spite of the danger. There was a teacher there by the name of Shlomit Ziv. He lived there in that town, Netzarim, or however, again, however it's pronounced. He was asked about living there with the danger in 2001, and he said this, I don't live where it's comfortable. I live where it's important to live. Now, stop and think about that. There are people that are fleeing California. Some people, honestly, they go, you know, it's their job. Their job is rotating them out, whatever. We think about being here in California sometimes as a burden, a necessary evil, you know, whatever you want to call it. But when it comes to the gospel, it's an important place to live. By the way, there's going to be a gathering here pretty soon. There's going to be pastors that are going to be getting together in a couple of places here in California. There is going to be a push in the state of California with pastors, independent Baptist pastors, to, in the near future, as the Lord tarries, start, plant 100 new churches. I say praise God. That's great. I think that is awesome. This place is a beautiful place to live, but it's also an important place to live. But that's not exactly what we're going to be looking at. We're going to be recognizing that God directs our paths. Everybody, and we were there not too long ago, every Christian loves the 23rd Psalm. Now, you don't need to turn to it. You're probably very familiar with it. But listen to this, that we're going to start in verse 2, Psalm 23. He maketh me, the shepherd, our shepherd, He maketh me, David said, to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Verse 3, He restoreth my soul. Praise God for that. But then, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I'm not going to elaborate on this right now. Just kind of meditate on that a little bit. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. One for defense, one for leading. So when you stop and you consider so much in the Old Testament and the New, you see people on the move because of God. Now, some people, they don't move like that. I've heard of people, I read one time, and I'm sure he's not the only one, of a man that literally lived and died. He lived over 60 years, I think it was. He was born in, he lived, and he died in the very same house. What was it I heard one time, something like 100-plus years ago, most people stayed within just 10, 15 miles of where they were born. I mean, there wasn't a lot of movement that went on. But the leadership of the Lord doesn't always talk about taking you physically from point A to point B. Let's get to verse 6, but let's go ahead and start with verse 1. First of all, we know when we get into this chapter, we're challenged with a couple of things. We're challenged to know God's wisdom, which is what Proverbs is all about. But just hear this out. My son, forget not my law. By the way, when we're looking at this passage, it's great. You're talking about an intimate relationship, a wonderful relationship, father and son. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Guard, garrison them, keep them, my teachings. That word law, again, Torah, literally to distribute or teach, it's teachings, what I've given you. Why? For length of days, literally extension of days, the prolonging of life, the duration to an appointed time, an appointed limit when God takes us home, hey, for length of days, and then long life, literally years of life. It's not just repeating what we have in the first phrase. This, if we wanted to boil the fat out of it, it would be this: a life worth living. So the length and then the depth of it, what the life is all about. So length of days and long life, and then peace, literally to be whole, to be safe from the inside out, meaning be it internal or external, contentment, tranquility of mind. And again, when we think about what's going on today, you ever stop to consider that if you don't know the Lord, I don't blame a lot of people for how they're responding. Now, it hurts. You know, when you stop and you consider those young people who are just getting into life, and yet they have gotten so depressed, they get into suicide. You know, Satan loves death. Proverbs, to all they that hate me, God's wisdom, love death. But there are older people as well, and sometimes we wind up in a job like law enforcement or military or whatever. We've got a situation going on now in the military where we've got soldiers that are committing suicide. And of course, law enforcement, when they wind up going through what they're going through, my soul, just what happened in New York City yesterday. These two young men that went to take care of a situation. I remember when I was a chaplain, they said about the most dangerous thing that you could get involved in was a family dispute. You just got to be careful. Let me get back to this. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. They'll heap upon you. These things will come. Now, verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Now, I'm not going to get into the first part. Detail, we got too much to cover right now as it is. But this idea here, write them upon the table of thine heart. Inward truth impacts outward behavior. When we get into a situation, we don't have somebody standing behind us yelling at us saying, now remember, but when you have the Holy Spirit pull a verse up and brings it to your thought. You know, I remember hearing about a young man that was saved. He was in the gangs. And sometimes what they would do when it was popular to have these, if you're going to get into a fight and you've got no other weapon, you snap an antenna off of a car sitting there. That can be used somewhat. And sometimes it can be pretty mean when it comes to getting up close and putting it in somebody's eye, et cetera. And I don't mean to gross you out. But this fella, he had learned, he had been saved, he was a child of God, and they had been studying the scriptures, and then he's walking down the street one day, and some of the old gang comes. And they start giving him a hard time, and he start, you know, pushing and shoving, and he reached over and pow, snapped off an antenna. He was ready to go to war. And the Lord spoke to him. This is not what we do. This is not the renewing of the mind. And he thought, I'm backing away. Set it down, walked away, that's it. See, write them upon the table of thine heart. Why? Look at verse 4. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now we know even with this, with the Lord, what does Luke tell us? In Luke chapter 2, and Jesus, and he's in his growing, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. The will of God is revealed in the Word of God, and the only way to know his will is to study the Word of God. So, when you write them upon the table of thine heart, we have that growth that we need. Paul told the church at Colossae in Colossians chapter 1 in verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing, even with all that, increasing in the knowledge of God. In the day and age that we live in, are there things to know out in the culture? Yes. But more than anything else, we need to know our God. Because it is the knowledge of God that helps us to respond to the world as we ought to. And I know many of you know that. We just need to encourage each other in that. Because it's important. It's going to, that's part and parcel of the testimony that we're going to have to our nation. So, again, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Then last week, last Sunday night, we came to verse 5. First of all, tonight we're looking at, okay, know God's wisdom, but then last Sunday night it was trust God's wisdom. Look at verse 5 once again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Now, again, from last Sunday, the word translated trust means literally to lie helpless face down. I'm giving my life to him. It's a picture of a servant waiting on a master or a soldier waiting on his commanding officer. The heart is the one, the seat of the emotions. There is no splitting it up. We're not going to be the... In James, it talks about the double-minded man. This is the double heart. Basically, the same thing. We our trust is solely on the Lord. It's not the Lord and our military. It's not the Lord and our money. It's not the Lord and our secular leadership. It's the Lord. So when it comes to that passage, the first part of the verse speaks of you and I being commanded to do what does not come by nature. The Lord does that for us through His Spirit. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The second part of the verse is telling us to stop doing what does come naturally. Lean not to thine own understanding. Now we come to verse 6. Trust God's ways. We trust His wisdom. Now we're going to trust His ways. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. If you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, your purposing. Your purposing. See, when we say, in all thy ways, this covers the whole area of life's action. You ever just, you know, you're out in life and you're walking and maybe you're meditating on God's Word. You might even be meditating on this. And you recognize this. When the Lord speaks of all your ways, it doesn't matter what it is, secular or sacred. I think I've mentioned this before. Dr. Bob Sr. Had a saying. He said, to the Christian, all ground is holy ground. Every bush, a burning bush. And every house, a place of worship. It doesn't matter where we are. It's the fact that we are there because God has us there. And He expects glory. Again, Paul, whatsoever thy hand findeth, forgive me. Where's that verse? Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Brad? All of a sudden, I'm forgetting where it is. I don't have it in my notes. But Paul told, you know, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Boy, this is going to sound good on the video. But in all thy ways, listen. Isaiah 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. This kind of sounds strange to us in all our ways, but he's saying, wait a minute. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. What the scripture is telling us is God's ways are incomprehensible. We don't know what we're going to wind up with at any given moment when it comes to living for the Lord. So in all thy ways, do this. In all thy ways, recognize He is there and acknowledge Him. Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. We live for an unbelievable, omniscient, omnipotent God. I mean, it boggles my mind. I'm sure it boggles your mind too. My mind is easily boggled, but it's up there. You know, it's incredible to stop and think about. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Really, who has? Or who has been His Counselor. So we have to stop and consider, okay, now wait a minute. I'm up here preaching. You're down there listening. I'm preaching God's word. We're all listening God's word. We need to be hearing it. But then tomorrow, there's going to be something that's totally innocuous, something completely, we would think, maybe, you know, taken away from the spiritual side. But the fact is, it isn't. Because whatever we do all to the glory of God. So in all thy ways, and this is important, acknowledge Him. Know Him. In other words, recognize when we see a situation, it is an opportunity that is God-given. You know, we stop and we consider coming in these four walls and we say, okay, this is where we hear God's word. This is the opportunity that God has given here. We can hear God's word. We can study it. We can rejoice in what God tells us. But meanwhile, there's the time when our tire goes flat. You know, or the job situation doesn't work well, or the neighbor gives us a difficult time, or, you know, a thousand different things. Hey, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. What can we do? Well, we acknowledge this fact. If God is in every situation, God has an answer to every situation. If God is in the guidance, He has a reason for where He leads us. In every aspect in our lives, we acknowledge Him. We reflect on this. We consider Him in the situation. David's advice to his son Solomon was this: know the God of thy father. Know Him. So that there is, and I'm looking for it now, that there is our purposing, okay? And then He comes along with His promise. So I don't know if I've my tang got tangled or whatever. I'm giving it my best shot to get this through because I love this passage. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Here's His promise. We've looked at the promises of God. Here is another one. And He shall direct thy paths. You know, it's interesting there that the pronoun is emphatic. What it says is this: He Himself, God Himself, He didn't assign it to an angel. He's doing it. He shall direct thy paths. Now, it's not just a thing of, go this way. That's not it. He makes them, it speaks of this in directing the paths. He's making it straight, level. He's removing obstacles. So, in other words, if there's a direction that He wants you to go, nothing can get in the way. If He's ordered it, nothing in the universe can stop you from going through that. Now, that ought to give us great comfort. Because if God has promised to send us in a direction, He has purposed to the point where He's removed obstacles, He's gotten rid of whatever, because He's going to use that for His glory. And when we acknowledge Him, He'll put us in a place where indeed He does get the glory, and we get the comfort of knowing that He, the great shepherd, is taking us through. He shall direct thy paths. You know, Jeremiah 10:23 tells us this: it is not in man to direct his steps. We can get ideas, we can get plans, But have you ever made a plan and then it, you know, goes completely the other direction? Of course you have. That's part of life. In big and small situations, it's there. But brethren, isn't it great to know this? There's 101 ways I wish I could emphasize on this. I heard a guy preach on this one time. And he made these statements. And I thought, this is wonderful. This is exactly what we need to hear. When he spoke on this verse, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." When he spoke on it, he says, now, you'll notice something. Your side is the first part. God's side is the second part. "In all thy ways acknowledge him." That's God's side. "He shall direct thy paths." Excuse me, that's our side. "He shall direct thy paths." That's God's side. You know how many times I have found myself on God's side? How many of you have ever sought to direct your paths? My hand is up. And if you're not raising your hand, either A, you're lying, B, you don't like to raise your hand, or C, you haven't gone through some really interesting life situations yet. Because we'll come up and it's like, oh, yeah, no, listen. You get back on your side. This is what we do. We seek to acknowledge him. You take care of doing the what. God will take care of the where. You take care of doing the what. God will take care of the where. You prepare your life. God will plan your life. Even now, at an old age, you prepare your life. God will plan your life. Be what you're supposed to be, and God will take you where you're supposed to go. That is what is important. This is a solemn admonition, because we are here not for fun. We're here on purpose. We are here for the glory of God. Now, there are those that say, well, you know what? And they might not say this out loud big time. Maybe we've been there. Maybe we know people that are there, maybe even now, that because of pride or stubbornness or whatsoever, they're saying, I'm going to go down this way, and that's just the way it is. Well, there's a problem with that. Proverbs 28. "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." There was a pastor. A young man was telling this pastor, he'd been witnessing to some people that he came across that were in the drug scene. He told this particular young man, he said, "Son, I want you to understand, God loves you." And this was that young man's response. "I don't need God to love me. I love myself. I don't need to trust in God. I trust myself." Have you ever been in a situation where you trusted yourself and boy, did you fail yourself? I have. Big time. So, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." I keep coming back to the first part of this passage, what we covered last Sunday night. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I love verse 6. And yes, I've had a situation where I have found myself trying to get onto God's side of verse 6 and direct. We wind up doing that because we haven't settled on the first part of verse 5 yet. trust in the Lord with all thine heart. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If the heart is half with self and half with the Lord, it's not with the Lord at all. I love the fact that there is so much detail in God's Word that helps guide young people. You think about this. You've got your whole life ahead of you. But again, like I've mentioned before, some of us, we've got a whole lot more in the rearview mirror than we do in front of us through the windshield. But we still have things in the windshield. And I tell you what, no matter what I did back then, you know, the Scripture talks about forgetting those things which are behind. Hey, we're still pressing forward on the things that are before. So, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the wisdom that it gives us and the recognition of challenges that we have in our lives that need to be dealt with. We want guidance in our lives, but we've got to get this settled. Who am I trusting? Who am I acknowledging? Lord, we all deal with the pride issues. We all deal with situations that draw us to our own flesh. As we were looking at, we were thinking about this morning in 1 John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Lord, that's another way we can get drawn aside. I pray, Lord, for these dear folks here, for all of us, and yes, for those that might be listening now or later on, the Lord, we believers would understand how important it is that we give the reins of our lives totally to You. Obedient to Your Word, listening to Your Scripture, and trusting You for the outcome, as well as also trusting You for the ability. There's some things that sometimes we just, Lord, for one reason or another, we grapple with, and it's just, it's hard. But You know, You're with us. Lord, thank You for Your help. Thank You for Your presence. Thank You for the fact that Your grace is always sufficient and You are more than enough. So even now, Lord, this week, we put our trust in You. Lord, thank You for these folks. Thank You for their faithfulness. Lord, reward them. Lord, encourage them. This week, I pray that You would do a work in their lives. Your will be done. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.